Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we're looking, this is actually the first week in our study of the book of Ephesians. We're going to study the whole book. And we're calling the study the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. We are now barely started. We are in Ephesians chapter 1. And I described yesterday the fall of man and the vision that I had concerning the fall of man. And after man fell from the glory of God, man could not stand in the presence of God. But this book of Ephesians tells us that he chose the church in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. So even before the foundation of the world, before Adam ever fell, God already had a plan that was going to cleanse us so that there could be a group of people who could stand before him, work with him throughout all eternity. And that is the church. That's our place before him. Now the Jews, they're going to have the rule from Jerusalem over the earth. I like to think of it like this. They're his earthly people during the millennium. We're his heavenly people. And we will be forever, the place of the church forever is before him to his face. Since man fell from the glory, and you can read about this in my book, The Blood and the Glory. You can also go back to these earlier broadcasts this week online, billybrim.org. Since man fell from the glory, man could not stand in the presence of God. God devised an elaborate plan so that he could dwell among men in the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah we say, in the tabernacle and in the temple in Old Testament times. Quite an interesting study to see how that he came back. He was separated from his man. And then he started to appear. Even earth was in a curse. He could not come there close to them. And so Moses, in the third chapter of Exodus, he sees this bush burning. And that bush has got the presence of God in it. And then Moses is told by God, you bring these people, it's time I'm bringing them out of Egypt. And you bring them 3 days' journey out to a mountain and meet with me. That mountain was named Sinai. You know the story of Moses and Pharaoh. You know how he went in, let my people go, and they wouldn't let him go, and let them go, and there came another plague. But an interesting side study is God told Moses, bring my people 3 days' journey out to me in the mountain. And Pharaoh would say things like, well, I'll let the men go, but not the women. Or the women go, no, I can't remember which way it was. But then Pharaoh would say things like, I'll let you go 2 days' journey. Moses said, no, we got to go 3 days' journey. Three is a number. It's a divine total. They had to be totally separated unto God. And so God devised an elaborate plan when Moses got out there and they met God on that mountain. God came down that mountain, smoked, fire, spit, the people are afraid. Well, that Adam wasn't afraid in the garden. They didn't have all that lightnings and fires and no, they just walked and talked. But now see, when God comes on the earth, he's got to clean it up. He's got to clean the top of that mountain off, the fire. He's got to clean that place because he's going to come down there and meet with man. And then he tells Moses, you take them up an offering and you build me, 25th chapter of Exodus, a tabernacle, a place where I can meet with man. And in that tabernacle is going to come a pillar of fire, which is the presence of God. Now, it's not all of God in the whole world, but God can concentrate himself. And he concentrated himself to live over the Ark of the Covenant, Ark of the Presence, in that tabernacle. And they had to, oh man, I mean, they had to watch themselves. Elaborate plans. There had to be, you look and see when he moved over into the temple, how many animals, thousands of them, hundreds of thousands, whose blood was shed to cleanse them. Solomon cleansed. I mean, they had to watch. They had to wash. They had to be cleansed. Their sins have to be pushed off from them so that God doesn't destroy them. You know the story of how David, he was put the ark. The ark had been over in the Philistines that had it. David's so happy he's going to go back and get it, but he puts it on a cart. Now, a man, the oxen stumble, ox-drawn cart, and this man named Uzzah reaches out to steady the ark. He falls dead. Fire breaks out on him. He falls dead. David says, what can we do? We can't do anything. He puts that over there in the house of somebody over at Edom by the side of the road. We don't want anything to do with it. How can anybody? Well, the thing about it is he didn't do the way God said. God's plan was elaborate. You have to have these men from a certain family, and they're going to carry that ark on coals, poles, and I'm going to anoint them for it. Well, Obed-Edom, whose house it was put in, he was from that family. He starts getting blessing. So David said, well, we can do it, all right. We can get the ark back, but we got to do it God's way. And so there was this elaborate plan of coming into the presence of God and having, God wanted to be with his people. He wanted to be as close to them as he could get to them. And that's as close as he could get through this elaborate plan. God had a plan in place before the katabole of the world, the judgment of Satan's earthly kingdom. God had a plan in place to prepare a people who could stand before him in his presence forever. You're going to see in the book of Ephesians that it's his plan that the church stand in his presence forever. God had this plan, and we see this plan revealed to us in Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead sins, dead works, to serve the living God? In this verse, we see the Trinity. How much more shall the blood of Christ, that's the Son, who through the eternal Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, offered himself without spot to God, that's the Father. So we see that somewhere in the, there was an eternal moment when God was planning to repopulate the earth, to bring forth a people that are going to stand before him forever. There had to be a moment he was going to create a man who could be redeemed. When God created Adam, his name is Adam. Dam is the Hebrew word for blood. So he's going to make a creature of blood. Now, God doesn't have to make creatures of blood. Angels don't have blood. God didn't have blood. Jesus didn't have blood before he came to the earth. But God makes Adam a creature of blood because he knows that man's going to sin. And you can pour out the vessel that he lives in can be broken and poured out a blood offering. So God said somewhere at an eternal planning moment, if one would go and live a perfect life in this same body that Adam lives in, a creature of blood, and pour out his blood, then I could count it that mankind, blood covered, purged his sin. So Hebrews 9:14, this records for us that eternal moment. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. There was a moment when Jesus, the one we call Jesus, said, I'll go. I'll live in a body. I'll do it. I'll live a perfect life. My blood can be spilled. The life is in the blood. God knew man would be tempted and fall. But if one would go and live a sinless life, required by a just one, that earthen vessel in which he lived could be broken, and the life that is in his blood could be poured out for all mankind. Somewhere, in a great eternal moment, the Anointed One offered himself through the great eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the Father God. He offered to humble himself and live in a man's body without spot, then to offer his blood to purge the sins of the world. The mystery of the ecclesia, the church. The New Testament calls God's plans mysteries. Some of the mysteries, it's a Greek word, mysterion, and it means a sacred secret. It's a transliteration of the Greek word mysterion, which means a sacred secret, something concealed that can be revealed. These mysterions, these secrets of God, are called the mysteries in the New Testament. Some of the mysteries that the New Testament speaks about are the mystery of Israel, Romans 11, 25, 26, the mystery of iniquity, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7, the mystery of the church, many, many numerous references. God concealed his plan for the church throughout the Old Testament. The prophets prophesied about it while they wondered of what and of whom they were speaking. But even the gospel writers did not grasp the mystery. It was not until a man named Paul came along that God revealed what he had concealed, the mystery of the church. The Holy Spirit refers to it as, quote, the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Romans 16:25. Quote, the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. Ephesians 3:9. When I heard Satan with fallen man cringing behind him, mocking God, saying, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? I saw with emphasis upon the fact that God did not answer him. I knew it was purposeful. I saw, as it were, a door in the midst of God marked top secret. God did not open that door to Satan. God did not open that door throughout the Old Testament. God did not open that door throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. He did not open that door until there came along a man named Paul. When Jesus was about to go to his passion, he said to his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. John 16:12. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, going on reading, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me again. A little while, you shall see me because I go to the Father. So Jesus said, I have some things that you can't know yet, but I'm going to reveal them. And one of the most important things the Holy Spirit would reveal was the hidden mystery of the church. We'll come back to this tomorrow. And I would invite you to go online to billybrim.org, billybrim.org, or call us at 1-800-972-3447 to get my book, The Blood and the Glory, for $10 plus shipping. And so this is Billy Brim saying to you, shalom, shalom, until we meet again, and take up the study of Paul's revelation of the mystery of God. And when you come tomorrow, be sure you have your Bible with you, and we're going to begin in Galatians chapter 1 to lead us to Ephesians. Shalom.